Hello everyone, welcome to Disney Magic Hour, episode number 165. Today we are going to go off to a galaxy far, far away. Had to do it, I don't care if you're shaking your head. And we're going to talk all about our experience from Star Wars Celebration. With me I have Mr. Pete, how are you?
Hello there!
And I have Adam Corbett with us here. How are
you? Ahoy, hoy!
Now even though you weren't with us in Chicago, you're with us in spirit and you watched a lot, so we're going to get a little bit of an outsider perspective from you, from a lot of people, I think, who watched and streamed it, so we'll get that, and we'll talk about, of course, how much we can tempt you into coming next year.
First thing off the bat, Adam was not there in spirit because he was not there.
That's what being there in spirit means.
Nope.
He was in solidarity.
He'll have to fix it next year because I'm not accepting anything less. Stan Solo was supposed to join us tonight, but like me, he got a little bit of a cold towards the end of the con. He has barely a voice, and he does have his own show that he has to record with the Grand Circle Tour podcast.
Yes.
So he was unable to join us tonight. Bummer to that, but there's always more Stan Solo on the horizon.
Yep. So, of course, we have... Next year, we have Anaheim, we have Disneyland. How are you going to get there? You better go over to mei-travel.com, book as soon as you hear those dates. That's what we're going to do. And if you want to come and see Galaxy's Edge, it's opening May 31st in Disneyland, August 29th in Disney World. We'll be there. So come join us, and we'd love you. Book through mei-travel. Tell her Disney Magic Hour podcast sent you, and it'll be very helpful for our show. All right. Let's talk about Star Wars. There's a lot to talk about, so we're going to be here for a while. First and foremost, I want to thank so many people. We had such an amazing time at the show, such amazing people. Of course, we had Stan Solo to thank. He always helps us out. He got our Airbnb booked down. He did it also when we were in the one in Orlando, so props to Stan for doing all that, putting all that together. We'll thank our other Airbnb mates, Scott Clark and Jackson Tinch. You guys were awesome, and it was really fun to share an Airbnb with you, and of course to get squished in Ubers together. That was a lot of fun.
It's great seeing you, Austin.
Jackson.
Don't ask me why, but I called him Austin about 100 times. I have no idea why.
I don't know.
Not a clue.
Not even in the same state.
Yeah.
I want to thank Kyle Fisher and fam. You guys are amazing. All the stuff that you guys do in your 501st. If you haven't seen pictures of the Muppet Troopers, you should. The Scooter Trooper is Kyle. He was amazing. They worked so hard on that. And, I mean, it was so cool hanging out with you guys. Chris and Kat Butler, guys, that was so great that you guys were there. Thank you so much, Kat, for your Mandalorian QR code. We'll get into all that, but I need to thank you because that was amazing. Of course, I have to thank Jennifer Vail making those reservations at Smith and Wolinski. I think I'm butchering that.
Yeah, no, Smith and Wolinski. Yeah.
That was an amazing steakhouse. I was so happy to see you and Lizzie again, and of course to meet Tommy. He was such a ball of laughs.
He was great.
I think Pete found a new best friend.
It was good. Good people. Good folk.
So happy that you put that reservation together for all of us. And of course, joining us in that dinner, Dustin Nance, David Curran, Jeff Hall. You guys are amazing. I hope I got to talk to you. But if not, we'll see you guys hopefully in Anaheim and we'll get to hang out more.
See Adam. See who you missed.
Yeah, I know. I'm ashamed.
I mean, that steak was amazing. Not going to lie. It was coffee and cocoa. I don't know what they did to it, but I'm pretty sure they sprinkled it with magic. Okay, so that was all the fun stuff. Not all the fun stuff. That was some of the fun stuff that we got at Star Wars Celebration. Those were some of the people who joined us. Let's kind of walk back a little bit. We went to the Orlando one. It was like our first major con while we were living here in Florida. While it was fun, those days were intense. We were there from like 4 a.m. till, 7 o'clock at night?
7, 8 o'clock at night, depending on what we had interest in.
We were sleeping on concrete floors. It was rough.
It was rough. It was a long 4 days. And it's basically that is how I have experienced most of the cons in my lifetime, because the basic rule is if you want to, well, I should say ever since it became this community thing where people who normally wouldn't go to these things feel compelled to have to go to every one of these things, the crowds at these events have been have grown exponentially over the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years. And part of that has become, if you want to see one of the main panels, you have to get there as early as humanly possible. We're, you know, we're talking about 2 a.m., 3 a.m., the night before you camp out, stuff like that. That's been the status quo for quite a while now. And the big change in what we were going to be doing this time at Star Wars Celebration was panels would be done by a lottery. Well, not all panels. The four big main panels that would be happening Friday night, Saturday morning, I'm sorry, Friday morning through Monday morning, they would be a lotto, to the point that you would even find out what section you were in. So there was really absolutely no point in showing up early to the show.
Yeah, which we found out, which was really good. Because
which was phenomenal, yeah.
It worked really well. We don't necessarily know how the lotto thing worked in terms of, like, mine and Pete's badge were linked up because we bought them together. But then we had, you know, obviously Stan had his own, Scott had his own, blah, blah, blah. Everybody had their own. One panel, which happened to be the Disney Parks panel, we all tied our badges together somehow and put in for it. And
I did for it. I did that.
And yeah, we got that one.
You were able to link up your, you basically got a group code.
Okay.
And then everyone would submit their entry with that group code. And so you would all be involved. It was a little weird, though, because then you had to apply for a different group code for each panel, or you would sort of use up all of your entries in one thing. Anyways, long story short, we were together on the Galaxy's Edge panel, but for the most part, we sort of entered into our own smaller groups. Now, the thing that we still don't know is if, you know, say for that Galaxy's Edge panel, there were five of us all together. Did we have one entry in that, you know, virtual pinball, you know, bingo machine for our one group code? Or did we have five, one for each person?
Yeah, and whoever got picked, that whole group got picked. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know because it doesn't help the individual. Like, no matter what, you individually are only going to have one entry, or you as a group are only going to have one entry. You know, it really doesn't matter, but it would be nice to know if it was a five entry thing or a one entry thing.
Yeah. But the good thing is, because we wound up going with a bunch of people that we knew, we were able to, like I mentioned earlier, kind of like share QR codes.
Well,
in a way,
change that.
Yeah.
Because you can't share them because you can't use one more than once.
Yes. No. But what I was going to say was, like, Chris and Kat got into the Mandalorian streaming room panel. Kat knew that she really didn't have much of an interest, but Pete and I didn't get into it at all.
Yeah.
And she initially offered it to Pete because she knew he would have a bigger interest than she would. So what she could do is, instead of her using her QR code, she could send it to him via whatever, text, Facebook Messenger,
just took
whatever.
Yeah, a photo of it, yeah, and yeah, sent it to me.
Do a screenshot. So, like, you can't use it more than once, but you can share it in terms of, like, you know, send it to someone else and they use it in your stead, because yeah, it wasn't linked up to your badge or anything.
It's
like
not
that.
Napster. You can't share it and then say, like, oh, we all get one, but yeah, there's only really one. You can send it to somebody, give it away to somebody.
Yeah, once that QR code is used, it's used. So what I would say is, I would never buy it off anybody. I don't think that would be a good thing. Also, you would have to give some kind of personal information to people that you don't know, like an email or a phone number.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't. But because we had such a group, it was a lot easier for us to kind of be like, oh, okay, I don't want this. Do you want this? Blah 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 blah. So that was kind of nice.
Yeah, but that is also going on the assumption that you have people who are going to Star Wars Celebration who don't mind missing a couple.
Yes.
Honestly, I don't think anyone else is really willing to miss one. The way that it worked out with us with The Mandalorian was that Scott just kind of wanted to sleep in a little bit. And so he was like, yo, I know this is – it was my main thing. He was like, yo, I got in the main room. Why don't you take this, because I know it really means a lot to you. So I hugely appreciated that.
Yeah.
Because so The Mandalorian also was the best panel.
Yeah. Props to Scott for that.
It was by far – not by far. Clone Wars was a close second.
And some of these major panels, and Adam, I know you experience this, when you're in the actual room, you get to see footage that the streamers don't usually get to see. That's the price you pay for being at home.
No. Well, also, let's just I just want to kind of clearly define what I mean by streamers, the people at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Because at the show, they will not only fill the main arena, which this arena sat about 7,000 people, which is twice the amount that it did in Orlando.
Yeah, it was like, what, a basketball stadium?
It was a college basketball stadium.
Yeah,
yeah. So
it was huge.
On top of that, they also have two other viewing rooms that they gave out QR codes for, again, Lotto.
Right.
And that streamed it, but you also got to see the footage.
And that,
they didn't cut you off.
Yeah, that was the room I was in. And there was a split second where the countdown that the streamers saw was in our room, and our room was like, boo, what is this? Because they had to switch feeds from the streaming feed to the actual footage. But it was kind of funny because I was like, what? No.
Yeah, no. When you're on site, you get to see that stuff. And look, I'm sorry for the people who are at home and like, that's not fair. Nah, it kind of actually is, because people paid $250 to be there that week. And one of the points of that happening was so that you get to see stuff other people don't. So, yeah, you didn't get to see like 4 minutes of footage, but you got to see everything else. And if it meant that much to you, then maybe, you know, maybe that's an event that you look forward to next year. I also understand that it's really expensive.
Yes.
And don't worry, all the stuff's going to come out eventually. You're going to see it anyway.
Yeah.
Don't let the FOMO thing kill you in just like enjoying what you get to see, because that's just social media pressure. And I really implore you to push that stuff to the side.
Yeah, but if you have the means and you really want to be there, there's definitely it's a definitely a fun experience to do. So initially going in, all these QR codes for the big panels, it makes it really easy because the floor doesn't open until 10. Those panels weren't open until 11. We did not have to get anywhere near that arena until 9:45-ish.
The only change in that being if you want something on the floor that it's an exclusive merchandise, or if you were, really interested in Vader Immortal on VR, that line became 2.5 hours, about 20 minutes, not even 20 minutes, about 10 minutes into the show.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to do something like that, or you wanted to buy exclusive merchandise, you still had to get there super early for, unless it was a piece of merchandise that was being offered with a QR code, because there were people there, they did have set up signups for that.
Yeah.
And that saved us a bunch of time as well.
Yeah, so like the Lego Darth Vader, you got a QR code. I know Hasbro was also doing a QR code pre-show for...
And they were giving them out at the show also. Yeah. Hasbro was like guns blazing once the show started.
And another good thing was, we know the show floor has exclusives. For instance, the Star Wars Tiki mugs, the Rancor with the little Luke cup as well. That was a show exclusive. However, what they were doing, which was really great, and once it actually started working, I think on like Friday night-ish, you could do what they called light speed. So basically, you do a fast pass, you have a return time for the store, and then you can walk in, and at that time, little to no wait, if any, we had no wait, and you can buy show exclusive stuff. I don't think anything was really sold out, except there was like a couple shirts that were
pins that were sold out.
There might have been some pins, but I also think that was an issue because they didn't have that going straight from the start. Next time, I think they'll have that set up a little better. You know, the app hopefully will work from the start and that kind of stuff. If you want to get in there on Thursday and get your, you know, special pins or whatever, you can. I think because a couple of the vendors, the exhibitors this time had those QR codes, I think next time even more will have it. Because even the Disney floor booth had
for Galaxy's Edge,
where they had like the merch explanation stuff there, you were able to book a time to go back there too. So I feel like this was just the first year. I feel like every year from now on, it's going to get better and better. In you don't have to wait in line, because what happens when you're waiting in line is you miss everything else that you want to do. So, and it stinks and it's tiring and it's hard to just stand around in line. And
it's also gatekeeping.
And it's
It's a term that I actually don't really like very much, because I think that people overuse it to just be like, well, everyone should be able to do everything all the time. And it's like, no, well, that's kind of never how it works, because if that were true, that's just impossible. Like, not everyone is going to get to experience everything. But to say, like, well, if you're a real fan, you're going to get up at 3 a.m. and you're going to line up out there. Look, mate, some people have kids. Some people are in wheelchairs. Some people don't physically have the ability to do that. Most of the fans are traveling overseas, and they can't get there 2 days before to line up, you know, because they're also dealing with jet lag. It's a silly, childish thing to be like, oh, well, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Dude, that's what I did for many, many years. It's done. It's an old, antiquated system. This is great. They also did basically a fast passy kind of thing with the regular panels that happened, because you would be able to book not one of the main ones, but one of the quote unquote smaller ones that happened through the week right through the app. So again, you wouldn't have to line up 2 hours before. You'd have to line up about a half hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah, if you wanted a good seat. Like,
you still got to get there early, because also they got to let everyone in at a certain point. So you booking that one basically meant that you would get seated first when they start seating. If you don't get there early enough, general admission's let in and everyone's in. So, but again, it was another way of like, oh, good, I booked this early. I don't have to spend an hour and a half of my time to see a 60-minute panel, because it just sucks doing that. You miss out on a lot.
And you can miss panels because sometimes they overlap or they're close together, so you don't necessarily want to just...
Which is also a point of the show, because they can't have everyone just going one place.
Yeah.
That's why the opening things were done with a lotto, because that is where everyone wants to go.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be everywhere at once, but then you choose, you know, what matters to you most.
Yeah, and I think this was a good way of helping people get to those places and enjoy the show a lot better. It made our experience a lot easier. We weren't there for even 12 hours, which honestly helped a lot, because we were able to go out after the show and go to dinner with people. We were able to actually experience a city like that I really want to experience more of, but just, you know, you're able to then hang around and like function day to day, and by Monday we didn't feel like trains had hit us.
Every night in Orlando, it was like, oh man, we got to get up at like 2 a.m. Like we got to go to sleep right now, and we would be on 3-4 hours of sleep. So
by Sunday, we were just done.
That stuff is just that's done. It's a way of the dodo. The only weird thing to this was, let me tell you how fast 5 days felt. Because I wasn't sleeping on the floor and spending an additional 8 hours just waiting to get into a floor, these days flew by. So I hope that it's still 5 days come next year, because I need it.
Mm.
I need it. Four is not enough.
Okay, Adam, we talked a lot. Do you have any questions or anything you want to, like, get out before we go into panels?
Oh no, but I really appreciated how they did this panel lottery. I'm kind of hoping they maybe do something similar to other cons not related to Star Wars. Mm-hmm. You know, I would like to see, because I'm going to be going to New York Comic Con this year, and I know San Diego has issues. So this would be a great template to just get a fair shake to everybody.
Well, it is run by Reed Pop, and this was run by Reed Pop. So my assumption would be that, yeah, they're going to be bringing this into the other ones. Also, because I'm sure at a certain point, security and the building and the local police are like, yo, we cannot have our people watching people in line for 8 hours fix this.
Yeah.
Like, this is not going to be the way it's going to be. You got to figure something else out.
Yeah, because, like, in Orlando, you had people who were online and, like, it was, like, too hot and, like, passing out from heat stroke.
Yeah.
Because they were out there for so many hours. If it was done like this in Chicago, I mean, it snowed on Sunday when we were there. So, like, you can't, like, always expect 100% perfect weather, you know, so,
can't,
like,
have parents with, you know, 5 to 10-year-olds sitting out in the snow for 8 hours.
Or, like, snow, heat, anything, like, any extremes.
There is the one major thing they need to fix about the lottos.
Which?
You cannot have someone get three out of four or four out of four panels and another guest get zero.
Mm.
There has to be a thing. I don't know how you fix that.
Yeah, because then it's like, if you fix that, then it's not really random.
But there is still a randomness as to which ones you're going to get. Maybe there's got to be a guarantee that you're going to get a panel.
Yeah.
You don't know which one it is, but everyone who submits is going to get a panel. It's got to be something like that, because it is, I think it's a little, the chance of a lotto sucks as is. Like, we only got one out of four.
Yeah.
Like, in the reality of things, we only got one out of four. We got to watch three out of four because we made things work. But Actually, we got to watch all of them because we watched one of them from the Star Wars stage, and then we watched Phantom Menace from one of the streaming rooms because someone else that we knew, again, didn't use a QR code, and they were like, here, use this.
Also, those streaming rooms were really huge. I think they were able to let in a lot
of
the people who waited without
but
QR
codes. I just, it's not fair if someone feels that I got nothing, someone else got everything.
Yeah, and every venue might not have the same seating capacity. So
yeah, there's got to be some way to seed that, that works a little better just on a more fair basis, because my luck sucks. Like, if my experience of panels is going to come down a lotto, it's not going to be good, but guess what? I still think it's a better system than this, than the garbage that we used to do.
Oh yeah, pony up for the VIP, and you always have access.
Well, that's let's get to that when we go to 2020, because that's what's going to happen. I'm going to attempt it, but we'll hold that for later. The 2020 thing is all held table till the end of the show.
All right. Well, this episode, I'm gonna make a terrible joke here, but just bear with me. This episode
same
is
as every
come
episode.
There you go. Par for the course. This episode's going to come out. I'm going to post it. It's going to be Easter Sunday, so we have to talk about He Is Risen. Let's talk about the episode 9 trailer, guys.
Well, okay.
Nailed it. Yes. I'm sorry.
You know what?
I'm
going to let every... You know, Adam. Adam, once I start talking right now, I'm going to tell you right now that you guys may as well just turn off your microphones for 10 minutes. So right now, I'm going to shut up.
Skippers hit the skip button.
Yeah, I'm going to shut up right now. Adam, why don't you tell us?
Yes.
You got to see the rise of the... You know, trailer comes out. It's called Rise of the Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker, right?
Rise of the Skywalker.
Is it the?
Is it? Or is it Rise of Skywalker?
I think it's Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker.
The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. The Rise of Skywalker.
What did you think of the trailer?
It's funny because when I did watch it, my first thought was I went right back to Force Awakens and I went right back to Last Jedi. It had a very similar feel to it. It was a very teaser-like trailer. It gave us something. It didn't give us a lot. It gave us a lot of good imagery. Of course, we had the whole, you know, Rey, you know, outrunning a TIE fighter kind of thing. I liked it. I wasn't in love with the teaser, and I kind of dug the Palpatine thing at the end. You know, it was good. Like, it didn't get me it got me super excited because we're now we've got a title, we got a movie coming at the end of the year, so it's real. It's like here. It's no more just like behind the scenes pictures or whatever it is. It's like it's an actual thing. It's happening. So I was excited on that front, but it didn't blow me away. I liked it. It was just kind of like a happy medium for me.
So let me ask you, because I know, like, especially with like the Marvel movies, like I'll see like one, maybe two of the teaser trailers, and then I'll stop. Are you gonna watch another teaser trailer, or is this enough for you?
No, I kind of have to for the YouTube channel I do, but if I weren't, I would probably at least watch one more and then just kind of skip the final.
Okay.
I think, but because, you know, unfortunately, since I do the YouTube channel, I kind of have to watch everything.
That could be a real.
What's that YouTube channel again, please?
It's Movie Guy 365.
Yes. So make sure.
Yeah, we'll get there. Okay. I will give my thoughts before Pete goes on his.
Goes on his rant.
Goes on his diatribe. I'm a Star Wars fan. I'm not a huge Star Wars fanatic. The first six episodes to me are just like there. I don't have feelings one way or the other. I love Clone Wars. I'm in love with Rebels. And the new series really, like Force Awakens, Last Jedi, I've been in for. I would like to see a bigger focus on the new group that we got. And I think that this trailer kind of showed me, okay, we're going to be more focused on Rey, Poe, and Finn, which I am all here for, especially because that's what Abrams said. Like, you know, this group is going to actually finally travel together. So I'm super excited about that. I initially didn't even realize that I was an Emperor Palpatine laugh. I'm that far removed, like it didn't click with me.
It was also in the place where we watched it, it got very, people started cheering because everyone has to cheer for everything right as that was happening.
Yeah, because it like faded to black. We thought it was over.
Yeah, and a lot of people started cheering. I believe I was walking away at this point.
Yes, because we had gotten the title card, I think, at that point.
I actually turned around when the cackling started. I was like, okay, got it. But that's also why you may not have noticed it initially, was because it was so it was really loud.
It was, because we watched it on the floor. They had it streaming on the floor. So, like, I don't know. I do think, like Adam said, there's a lot of cool imagery. I'm interested to see what they do. I'm interested to see the lore that comes from it. I think we've already, like, put together some really interesting fan theories that I bet you Pete's going to go into. That would be really cool. And if it doesn't happen, I don't know how disappointed he's going to be.
No, that's the thing. Like, well, here, that's the reality of theories. Yeah. If you don't get your wish, it doesn't mean you get to sit there and stomp your feet and be like, well, I would have wrote it better. If you would have wrote it better, then write it. Because no, then know. You should get a job doing
this
stuff.
Oh, there's plenty of fanfic out there, I'm sure. but no, I'm interested to see it. Because also, like, I would love to see the movies go as deep into, like, a more of a fantasy realm as the shows do. But I don't know if we'll ever get that, because I feel like the movies have to be more for a mass audience, and then the shows could be more for, like, you know, whomever. But I don't think we'll get telepathic wolves in a movie anytime soon, unfortunately.
No, I don't think you will, because they're too afraid of... I had a conversation when we were away in a White Castle, so it was a beautiful conversation. Oh, God, it was so good. But basically, one of the things that came up was, you've never watched the animated series, because when you see something that's very Jedi-y, more than you normally see in the movies, it threw that person off heavily. I don't understand how that happens when Luke leapt 20 feet from a base jump in Empire Strikes Back and also fell, 1,000 feet into a Zoob tube, and he was, like, totally okay. It even made a thump noise. But when you see certain things happen in the newer films, people are like, well, that doesn't make sense. And you're like, what have you been watching? Like, what have you been watching? Yoda jumped around like a frog for 5 minutes. And we all cheered.
Yeah.
And now something else, like, crazy happens, and we're like, science. Like, what? What are we talking about?
Yeah, it's sci-fi. I like the more fantasy parts. That's
but I understand.
I like
but I understand that, though. Like, yeah. when it comes out of nowhere, it's like, whoa, wait. Is that a thing that occurs here?
And yeah, if you haven't been following the animated, you don't realize, like, the full potential of things because certain people have taken it a certain way.
I still think the greatest Jedi moment was not even in a movie. It was not even in a show. It was a video game. Star Wars The Force Unleashed, when Starkiller brings down an entire Star Destroyer using the Force.
Sorry, never happened. Not canon, sir.
They had him there signing, and they had those pictures out.
Sam Witwer is alive, but not as Starkiller.
He's slumming it as Darth Maul these days.
Oh man, the love on Maul is huge.
Yes, it is.
Oh, we gotta write that down.
I wrote it down already.
Good.
Okay, so Pete.
All right,
you're up. Tag.
Buckle up, kids. All right, so here's my thoughts on the trailer. It starts off really great, because we get Luke basically reiterating what Yoda told him in The Last Jedi. Like, he is talking to Rey, I'm assuming in Force Ghost form, or it's just a voiceover that they recorded and they're using it for the trailer. Who knows? But, you know, talking about her towards, like, we have passed on what we know, you know, as in, like, our failures, our actual knowledge, all of that. Now, this is your fight. And he even ends the trailer with no one's ever really gone, which was kind of the backbone of Last Jedi. We get a very North by Northwest sequence with Rey and with Ben, because that is definitely Kylo's TIE fighter.
Yeah. It cuts to his face, right?
Yeah. No, it doesn't. It just shows his gloves.
I'm not sold on that theory. I think the Rebels are doing, like, a training session. I don't think it's actually Kylo on that.
They've stole his gloves, which, again, something. You know what it might be? You know what it also might be? That they didn't want to show it to you? I follow Lindsay Romaine on Twitter. She got some theories. I like a lot of them. She is sold to the bones that it is Ben training with Rey.
Oh, okay. So they're doing it together.
She is sold to the bones, because she's like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, the whole thing, like, it just, so we'll see. I don't think so, but you never know. There's a lot of fan pop moments in the trailer, like just made you go like, oh.
Yeah.
But fixing Ben's dunce cap is quite possibly the most upsetting thing in that whole thing. But my honest thought is they do show him in the trailer a couple of times. He's not wearing the dunce cap. I don't think it's him wearing it.
Or fixing the helmet, yeah.
Well, if he's fixing the helmet, he has incredibly hairy hands. Because if you look at it, whoever's fixing it has like dark black hair.
Oh, I thought it was gloves. I can't tell really.
And I don't think you're supposed to be able to tell. So I don't really know who's fixing that mask or if he actually wears it, because it's weird that the two times that you see him in the trailer, he's not wearing it, but they show someone fixing it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird thing to have in there, but whatever. My hope is J.J. Abrams introduced the Knights of Ren, and they're referenced in the middle film, but they're not gone towards it. Hux definitely wants to kill Ben. He knows that he killed Snoke. Why doesn't Hux call in or try to get in contact with these Knights of Ren and say, he is not the person that you think he was? He killed Snoke. You need to take over what he's doing. And maybe they come after him, and then that's the wedge that pushes him and Rey back sort of fighting on the same side. And my biggest hope would be that it's Kerry Russell, because I don't want Kerry Russell in this movie as like bridge commander number six.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? She might just be that. But we've also never had a female Sith on the big screen, but they've become a very big part of everything else that we've done.
Yeah.
So, you know, between the sisters and Saj, everything like that.
And the Inquisitors, yeah.
The Inquisitors, yeah. So I do honestly think this is a great time to do something like that, and Kerry Russell would be perfect. She's actually on Broadway right now performing with Adam Driver,
too. Oh, really?
Yeah, so, like, there's a lot of things that could just be a lot of, you know, just I would love to see it. I don't know why Lando's in this, quite honestly. It just seems like fan service to throw him up there, but Billy Dee is an awesome person. He just seems like he's such a warm guy, and he was incredibly entertaining in the panel, but it just seems like pure fan service. There's really no reason for him to be in this. But again, who knows? It's a trailer. We'll find out what happens.
And maybe he is. He's only in it for a little bit, and that's all he
is. Absolutely could be. It absolutely could be. Palpatine, man, I don't know.
The only thing I was thinking with him was maybe since Snoke is gone, Kylo Ren looked up to Darth Vader, but Darth Vader's been like, he like turned good-ish right at the end of...
Yeah, there's a redemption of Anakin, yes.
So like, if somebody was looking for a dark side like mentor, the immediate ones aren't like there, so like you would have to go back to the Emperor. So like, even if he was not like technically alive, but maybe ghost
or the Knights
form,
of Ren seeked him out.
Yeah, somebody sought him out. So yeah, maybe like
I don't see Ben doing like looking
no,
for
I,
another,
I don't know
looking
if
for another no. Snoke. Like that
no,
doesn't
I don't
make
think
any sense.
I don't think it's no, Ben. Maybe it's Hux. Maybe it's the Knights of Ren. But I think it's somebody who's looking for a dark side like mentor.
Yeah, and I don't see it being like an in-person appearance either. I don't think he's going to be resurrected. It's going to be like holocron or something.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't see, because in order for that to happen, you kind of have to introduce that element in the first movie. Mm-hmm. And you can't just be like, oh, by the way, he's here in the flesh, all along. Like, what?
I don't think you need, I mean, I'll tell you right now, I really don't think that J.J. Abrams was like, we really need to seed this, because he's kind of a guy who in many of his films doesn't seed something, and then it just sort of happens. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. There's 50 other people on this island in the last season. Sure.
Yeah, I knew that's well, where
you know, sure, that's good. Yeah. So let's not get too picky on what he may or may not want to throw in.
I do have a question, because, Adam, you brought up the holocrons, and we'll talk about them later, but have they been in movies before?
No.
No, physically, okay. I think they mentioned it Maybe.
I do not think so. I don't think the word holocron has ever been said in a Star Wars film.
Okay.
Okay. You're we'll probably right, because I know it's been said.
Maybe in the prequels. I can see Qui-Gon referencing it because he's a big he's a prophecy guy, and he would read those from holocrons. Mm. But I don't believe so.
Right. Yeah, I don't think so either. But
I'll come back to that later. But I just wanted to.
That's just really quick. I need to just get this off my chest. I'm going to be buying the prequel trilogy tomorrow on Blu-ray, right? So, look, shut up, all right? It's happening, all right? It's happening.
Okay.
All right, I'm not done yet.
You're not done.
No. We're not done yet. The thing with J.J. Abrams is that he made The Force Awakens, which was the movie we needed at the time because we needed to get everyone like, hey, we know the prequels weren't great. We're going to bring it all back together. We're going to go to practical effects. But he really made a really large retread of A New Hope, which, since I've gotten further away from that movie, I don't need to watch The Force Awakens very much because I can watch it in the form of A New Hope. The new cast is I love them, though. Like, that's the only reason I really go back to it. So there's a lot of like, oh, I remember that going on in this trailer, especially, I mean, he even does it with his own self. It's like, Force Awakens was, oh, wow, a crashed Star Destroyer in the sand. And then this one's like, oh, wow, the crashed Death Star in the water. Get it? Symbolic opposites. Water, sand, life, death. What kind of life are we going to find here? Like, I get it, you know, but I don't know. Sure. Adam, do you buy the thing of the Rise of the Skywalker? Is this just the thing, like Luke said, the time of the Jedi has come to an end? The Jedi have proved over 7 films they're not great at what they do. They're kind of bad.
That's true. But that, even from a marketing standpoint, that's going to be almost a tough sell to be like, okay, Jedi are still around, but they're now called Skywalkers. So I don't know. Like, it's,
I
really
don't think Jedi
to...
are still around, though. I think that term is put to bed, and then going forward, I think it actually helps marketing, because because now if you make a film and someone says the Jedi, you're like, oh wait, when does this happen? Knights of the Old Republic? And then going forward, you use the term Skywalker, because I think that the Jedi have always been treated as a priesthood. And I'm not going to get deep into this, but the whole thing of like, a priest not being able to marry, a lot of people have said this is maybe an issue with other things that have happened within that organization. And with the Jedi, what's the number one thing that seems to like turn people away from the Jedi and into like monsters? This belief that you can't love, that you can't have real passion. Yeah. I think that that is what this becomes. It's like an embracing of both the dark and the light, a balance that accepts both, and that you can fall in love, because how can you truly protect people if you can't truly love someone? I never understood that, and I think that it has caused more harm than good. It's what ultimately pushed Anakin to the dark side.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's what this is, and I love that idea.
I love it, because I like it even from the point of, you know, okay, from Skywalker on, it's like these films, and then Jedi, we're going back in time, just like you said.
I think it's cool. I like it.
I actually really dig that now.
See, I told you, a lot of fan theories come out, and some of them are really cool. Like,
but guess what happens? None of what I just said is going to happen.
Well, yeah, hopefully something cool will happen.
You know, and you know what it's going to be? Return of the Jedi version 2.0, and that's it. That's my worst fear, because I see in that trailer, oh, all of our people are on this, like, looks like they're kind of running into this new civilization that's in the middle of nowhere, and now they're fighting people. And I'm like, oh, is it Endor with sand? Like, is that what I'm looking at right now? And I wind up in the Death Star in the throne room in the last couple of scenes and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's the ugly path.
All right. Well, hopefully it doesn't get ugly.
Woo!
All right. So that was episode 9. That was our first panel. That kicked off our Friday. I don't want to go in order because I want to leave the park stuff for a little later.
Oh, can't we though? Because that's the worst one.
But there's a lot we have to talk about the parks itself. So I want to talk about the parks, all the parks merch and all that stuff. Itself.
All right.
Since we're in the terms of films and Jedi and all this branching off that we can go in, let's talk about The Mandalorian, because I absolutely am getting Disney Plus, and I am so excited about it.
Smitten.
Yes.
Smitten with Mandalorians. All of them.
I love...
Especially The Mandalorian.
I absolutely love The Mandalorian. But I'm excited for Disney Plus because we're getting a lot of stuff with it. Not to go into depth about all of it. But Mandalorian will launch with Disney Plus in November, so we only have to wait a few more months to get that.
Oh, so excited.
And... Like, once Game of Thrones is over, like, this is going to be my new Game of Thrones. I'm so excited for it.
Oh, but written better. I am dangerously building up this show.
Well, I think it's a good build-up because we have Jon Favreau, like...
Jon Favreau.
Yes, I don't know where that came from.
French aristocrat. Yeah. Phenomenal.
I don't know where that came from.
Sold.
And we have Dave Filoni, who, if you haven't been watching any of the animated series, you should, because he is the brain... behind Clone Wars and Rebels, and really has given Star Wars a whole new life for a whole new generation, me included in that. I think if you are interested in lore, Filoni has your back on it, and I'm so excited. And then, so not only do they have these two brains behind it, but then they pull in, what, like six different directors for the episodes.
Let's name the hotties, though, yeah, off the writing-directing thing. Number one, well, we got Deborah Chow, who did Jessica Jones.
Yes.
We have Rick Famuyiwa, who did Dope. Like, yo, if you haven't seen Dope and you're of age, stop.
So good.
Go see Dope. Bryce Dallas Howard is directing one, too. Look, I'm not a massive fan of hers, but whatever. We'll see what she does. And the Mandalorian panel got a lot of loud pops.
Yeah.
Right? There was none louder than Taika Waititi's name being said and shown on screen.
Even in the streaming room, that got a big pop.
You would have thought they just showed the Episode 9 trailer with the the noise that came out of people. There's few people hotter in, like, the hype than him. Mm. So those are some of the people. And Filoni's going to be directing. It's his first live-action thing. And I will say right now, he was visibly nervous during this panel.
Yes.
And Favreau wasn't. And I think Favreau was enjoying every second of it.
Yeah. Also, I love Filoni in panels because he always gets very nervous about spilling beans on things, and I can never tell if he does it on purpose or not, but
the Whitworth thing was my favorite, though, during the clones, when he was like, oh, you came real close there, Sam.
Yeah.
It's just like, so good.
Yeah, I mean, any con, if he is at it, I love watching him. He has the best time with his cast, and it shows. I love the friendship that he's formed with, like, Ashley Eckstein. So I was loving this panel. I was loving watching him and Favreau. And I think Favreau was totally, like, enjoying.
He's wearing my shirt too, Favreau.
He was wearing your
2001 shirt. What's up?
He was enjoying Filoni's discomfort with, I can't say too much, but I'm loving what I'm giving you right now.
I think Filoni has shown, at least in this is the way that they've shown it on the stage front. And I think Abrams also has this going for him. But I think Filoni's much better at it. Anyways, Filoni has shown himself to become an actor's director.
Mm.
Not to become, but he's an actor's director. And that shows in the shows and what he does. And I'm very excited to see it happen in live action. So you want to talk about the cast a little bit?
Yes, let's talk about the cast.
Good, because I got to get somebody before I burst. All right, Pedro Pascal is playing the Mandalorian. You actually know him from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
He got his head crushed like a grape.
He was the Viper.
Gina Carano is Cara Dune, and Gina Carano looks like she can just rock the world.
Yes, I'm all about her kicking butt.
Super hot.
Yes, she is. Gorgeous lady.
Carl Weathers is Grief Karga, which, yo, sci-fi names and Grief Karga, that is up there. That's up there. Also, Carl Weathers came out and yelled, I want you, at the crowd in his Apollo voice. And I thought people were going to die.
Yeah.
Like, people lost it when that happened.
Wait for a second. Adam, yes. Were you watching this by yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Were you, like, nerding out the whole time?
A little bit. I have to admit, I was like, oh, God, he just said that.
Yeah, that was a real hype moment. And then not on stage, but in the show also is Giancarlo Esposito, you know, from Breaking Bad fame. Nick Nolte is in it. Bill Burr is in it, and he was visible in the footage. He was actually shooting a laser at illuminated face. But Taika Waititi is also voicing a character in the show. He's voicing IG-11. who you do see, we did see in the footage.
And that got a big pop,
people
too.
People lost their head over that also. The footage that they showed, well, let me...
Was
let
that
me,
the trailer? I think that was the trailer.
There was trailer, and then they showed, like, a scene. And the scene, was 90% Werner Herzog speaking to me. Guys, I'm not kidding you. When I made this noise, I made that noise when he popped into camera and started talking to the Mandalorian. I lost my damn head. The feel of the show, Filoni and Favreau multiple times were saying how it's heavily influenced by Westerns and samurai films. So I wanted to just pass this along. If you are interested in, like, yeah, what's this movie going to be about? I want you to go and take time. Check out Seven Samurai. Check out Three Outlaw Samurai. And also check out Sergio Leone's trilogy, The Man with No Name, with Clint Eastwood. That's Fistful of Dollars for a few dollars more. And then finally, Good, Bad, and the Ugly. I'm seriously saying, like, you have homework to do. Check out those movies because you're going to get more out of the show. I truly do think this.
Yeah, especially the samurai ones, because I don't think Favreau could have said Kurosawa's name more times if, like, you paid him for a dollar every time he said it.
Actually, you know what? You know what I'm going to do? As we build up to this, I'm going to do a little show on myself, and I'll put it up on the thing. We'll just call it The Road to the Mandalorian.
I think that's good, yeah.
And Adam, if you want to do it with me, it'd be great. Let's watch. Absolutely. Let's dig into some Kurosawa that I think are going to have influences. We're going to check out Hidden Fortress, which was a big influence on A New Hope. And, oh, my God, when you watch it, you'll know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Seven Samurai, Three Outlaw Samurai, The Man with No Name trilogy. Let's do it.
Yeah, because, like, you can tell that Favreau and Filoni, too, like, they're just students of film. They're students of, and Filoni's definitely students of Star Wars. He's a student of Lucas. So, like, having all of this knowledge behind this show, it's just thrilling because they're just going to bring so much to it. And, like, me, I love the animated series because of the lore that it developed. Like, I'm a person who, I can't read a book. I have to find books in a series. If it has more than three, I am all in. I don't even care if they are bad. I need to read five at once because I like that type of, you know, feel. So, like, series like The Clone Wars, like Rebels, and I'm assuming like The Mandalorian, they are going to get me good because I love that kind of stuff. And the depth that you can explore, not only with characters and lore, like, you can just dig in so much when you have more than one movie or, you know, film to really set your thing.
Adam, now, you didn't get to see any of the footage, right?
No, but please tell me that there is a scene with the Mandalorian and he has a sword.
He has a rifle.
No, but he has a rifle. Like, that's the Western part of it.
Right.
The samurai part of it is like the Ronin who's getting hired to do a job. Sanjiro, Yojimbo, that's two other ones. Write these down.
Somebody take notes.
I've seen all of these.
Okay, good. We're going to dig into them when we get to watch them together.
Oh, good. That's
where more of it is. The shooting style, the atmosphere is just a mix of both of these. Not to garbage on some stuff, but I'm going to garbage on some stuff. I've seen some movies recently, high-profile films, where I legitimately think the directing is boring and or just visually boring. Captain Marvel was one of them. Pet Sematary was another one that I just saw. And I won't even bother going into it. Adam, I know you saw it. Well, The Nun was one of them also. And then, Adam, you recently saw La Llorona, Curse of La,
yeah, I saw that.
And that's another one where I don't want to see it because what I've seen of it, it all looks uninspired visually and very boring.
It is.
So that is the complete opposite reaction to what I had while watching The Mandalorian, where I was like, oh my God, this looks and feels like a film.
Yeah.
This is what a film should feel like and look like. And there's so much practical being put into this. Everything about this, if I had no interest in Disney at all, like zero, I'm buying Disney Plus on day one.
Yeah.
And I think that Disney Plus sold 20,000 subscriptions on that day. Because anyone who watched it, they were like, yo, we got to see this.
Yeah.
We got to see it.
let's set up The Mandalorian a little bit on what we know. We know it takes place between episodes 6 and 7.
Yeah.
It's after the Empire falls, but before the First Order takes hold. It's a very lived-in type of atmosphere. Mm-hmm. We are following the Mandalorian. He is hired for a bounty. We don't know exactly what.
Oh, God, I can't wait.
So we're going to follow him on his adventures to go and get whatever he's getting, whomever he's getting, whatever it is. And really, I just think it's going to be great.
Lone Wolf and Cub. Some more stuff. Actually, just recently, the writer of that passed. Just massive loss. Lone Wolf and Cub is something else we'll look into.
Okay.
Oh my God.
So
I just want to do a samurai show. Is that what I want?
While Pete's working all this stuff out, any other final thoughts on Mandalorian, Adam?
No, I'm just I understood why they didn't show it to everybody. I would have liked a little trailer. I would have been happy with 30 seconds or something.
Didn't they show a trailer for you guys?
Okay, here's the thing.
Oh,
I don't
really?
Look. What we saw in the theater, I do not think it's finished. That's why they're not showing it wide yet.
No.
Yeah, I know. They cut some footage together. It was quote-unquote a trailer. But I'm telling you right now, what we saw was not finished.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
and I expect
that's why they're not showing it. Because, unfortunately, we live in a day and age where what I see must be the way that it ends. And I don't understand it. And that's it. I'm going to judge everything on this 30 seconds that I see. And so I think that's actually one of the bigger parts of that. But this isn't the first show that did it. People saw the Avengers trailer for like two months before anyone else. And guess how much difference that had on everyone's life? None.
I know.
But I did really enjoy the panel a lot. Mm. I was, as geeking out as Melissa said about Carl Weathers and Pedro Pascal, I enjoy a lot. I've seen him in quite a few things recently. So I can't wait to see him take on the role. And he looked like he was just genuinely excited to be in that role. I could just tell.
Know what? On a side note, because actually out of the episode 9 panel, you want to know the thing that stuck out most to me? Jonas, the new Chewbacca, is the coolest damn person on Earth, and he was super nice. I have been to a lot of panels. I've been to a lot of cons. This 5 days was the most uplifting, positive feeling experience I've ever had.
And I was going to bring that
it
up
was
too.
Unbelievable.
Even with the episode 1 panel that we got, like characters or actors that had gotten a lot of stuff when like their movies first came out, like did not get that reception here.
Love.
Like Kelly Tran got biggest love and applause. Like I'm so happy for her for that. Like you can tell like maybe like coming back into this type of atmosphere, maybe you're a little hesitant. Like, you know how, like, things got after you premiered. And, like, now you're coming
racism,
back.
Just sexism.
Ugly landscape for her. And then for her to come into this room and just, I mean, we weren't even in the room. And even in the streaming on the floor, like, she got such love. And I am so happy for her. And, just everybody was getting so much love.
But, like, every person who was signing autographs.
Yeah, everyone.
They were, like, looking up, smiling, like, talking to you, asking you questions. Like, not even, like starting a conversation that I didn't even start.
Yeah. And, like, even the fans.
The fans were just.
We talked to people online.
Oh, man.
Like, if you are, like.
It was so good.
You know how, like, when you're in Disney and, like, Disney brings people together and you can be waiting online. And, like, that's how we met Sarah and Paul. Like, we just started talking while we were on Flight of Passage line. Like, Disney brings people together. This convention celebration, Star Wars was bringing people together. And it just felt so nice.
There was this awesome.
Like, so great.
Awesome 1-2 moment of. I was online. I think it was Chewbacca. I think it was. And there's a guy behind me, and we were talking a lot.
Mm.
And we had just come out of the Clone Wars panel earlier that day, so we actually had an extra print of the mini poster they gave us of the Clone Wars panel. And we were talking, and I was putting my stuff away, and he was walking away, and I was like, I was like, did you get into that Clone Wars panel? And he was like, nah, man, we missed it, I was like, hold on. And I gave him one of our extras. And he was like, thanks, man. Like, he was super excited. Next day comes. We're in the streaming room for Phantom Menace. That dude is one of the people who got picked to go on the stage during the panel.
Yeah.
And he had the same gorgeous, happy energy.
Yeah, it was really good.
He was like,
energy.
"Yo, I'm here, my friend. 20 years, we met online or in the theater.
Yeah, like
something like that. They were online. Phantom Menace.
They were online to buy tickets for Phantom Menace.
Yeah, and that's how we became friends. And now we're here together 20 years later. And I saw it. I was like, I know that dude.
From the line yesterday.
and in that same panel in the Phantom Menace, you can look it up. Mm. In all the rooms, they did a sing-along of The Saga Begins, the Weird Al track. But in our room, they brought people up on stage and they did karaoke for it.
Yeah.
And it was a guy, his name was Kyle, who was dressed like Kylo Ren.
He was very good.
He kind of led it. Yeah. And the whole crowd was singing together. And it was just, I just never experienced a con with this much positivity.
Yeah.
And what I think the ultimate point is, if you go on Twitter and someone puts up something about the new movies, you're going to see a bunch of replies about people pissing and moaning about it. That's because that's all they have. All they have is to go online and piss and moan about it because they are just a loud minority who search for stuff to piss and moan about. Ignore them. They don't matter.
Yeah, because the real people that we were surrounded with were genuine and loving, and it was wonderful.
And they filled up 5 days in Chicago.
Yeah, which I'm so excited.
It was just, oh man, it was great.
All right, let's talk more about love. Let's talk about...
Just say it, Clone Wars. Are we talking about Clone Wars?
Let's talk about Clone Wars.
Adam, did you see the trailer for this yet?
No, I still haven't seen the trailer for this.
Have you
Sweet
watched,
Jesus.
Have you watched Clone Wars already?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you watched Rebels, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, so just a little warning. If you haven't finished or watched any of these, there will be spoilers because obviously we're getting back into a storyline here. But
we don't have to get into too much of a storyline. I mean, we know Anakin falls to the dark side.
Well, no, but like there's one main character who has been prominent throughout both.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
So like if you are worried about whatever, like spoilers, but... If you're not, like, come along with us. I don't even think it matters because, honestly, the shows are so good. Like, just
Adam,
keep watching.
Adam, I'm going to tell you what the basis of this whole thing is going to be. The Siege of Mandalore.
Yes.
Okay.
That's it. That's what it is. So Darth Maul is in charge of Mandalore, and the Republic's trying to take it back. They send in some clones, some Ahsoka. It looks... The amount of technological advances, because I'm rewatching Clone Wars right now and I'm watching the first season and it's like, whew, things got better. Like, it looks great and the show is great, but like visually you can just see like, man, we took some leaps or they took some leaps. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, so just to set it up, Clone Wars had 6 seasons. They didn't get to fully finish their story. So there was definitely a big chunk that was missing. Then Filoni went on to Rebels. Some characters bled over from Clone Wars into Rebels, which was really...
The rhythm, the Rebels.
Which was really cool. But now Filoni has been entrusted to finish Clone Wars, so we're getting a short 12-episode season 7, which will be on Disney Plus within the first year of it premiering. So from this November to November 2020 will be another Clone Wars. This is also why Clone Wars, if you have been trying to attempt to watch it on Netflix, is no longer there. That will also go on Disney Plus. So you'll be able to catch up and watch or rewatch your Clone Wars when you have the new season on Disney Plus. Another selling point for me.
So there's a lot of questions to be answered in this the season 7, basically, that we never thought we were going to get. Mm-hmm. And wow, the love and passion that was on display out of these cast members was just overwhelming. I'm not going to lie. Got a little teared up during the trailer. I really did. Because there haven't been many movies over the last number of years. You know, we all know that. This has been the thing that I've connected with the most.
You have to grow out your beard for next year and cosplay as Rex, please.
Yeah, no.
Okay, well, thank you.
But he has my length beard now.
No. Grow it out a little bit more.
Nah, it's all right.
Maybe fluffy.
We don't really know. Okay, so the Siege of Mandalore, for those who don't know it, Darth Maul takes over the planet of Mandalore, the Mandalorians, like Boba Fett's, the Jango Fett's and the Boba Fett's in the world, and the Sabines of the world. He takes over that whole culture. And the Republic is like, yo, that's bad. So we should stop that. Here's the thing, though. While that happens, so does Order 66.
Which is?
Order 66 is the order that Palpatine makes in Revenge of the Sith that kills all the Jedi.
Thank you.
So there's going to be a lot going on. We don't know how far we're going to see Anakin really be in the show, because they really haven't like repeated scenes from movies in the show. So I don't know how far we're going to go with that. Also, the thing is, towards Ahsoka being obviously kind of a main focus of this, she doesn't fully know that Vader is Anakin when she sees Vader in the finale of season two. She figures it, like, she has an idea, and then a couple of minutes into the scene, she's like, you can't be the person that I thought you were. And then she learns it is. So you've got to assume there's some distance, or, you know, she sees all the Jedi getting killed and something, you know, she's like, I gotta dodge. So we don't know what's going to happen with that. But also, we know that Maul survives the Battle of Mandalore.
Yes.
So how does he survive? Like, what happens towards that? Because guess what they did show you? They showed you Maul and Ahsoka dueling.
The coolest part about that was they got Ray Park to come and do motion capture for that.
Yeah.
So it is when Darth Maul actually fighting.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, they mo-capped Ray Park, and they've kept it a secret this whole time. Just like Ray Park kept the secret on Solo the whole time.
Yeah.
That dude is an asset to that company in ways that I don't even know they fully realize yet. Actually, I think Filoni
I think Filoni got it, yeah.
But yeah. Also, I want to read you a sentence that I wrote down here because I must have spelt something wrong and it auto-corrected it. We also never really learn what happened in the season two finale when she, Ahsoka, stays to bathe Vader. And after learning he is Anakin, that meant battle.
Oh, that's
but
fancy
it changed
right
it to
there.
Bathe. So she bathes Vader. But anyways, yeah. So we have a lot to find out that happens in the seven. But how many episodes is it?
12.
So it's a shortened season than what it normally is. Usually, I think their seasons are like 24 episodes.
But it's good because it's just a short story to wrap it up. This is what we need to kind of get closure on this story. So I think if, you know, you were missing anything here, this will hopefully answer any and all questions and probably leave something open, because I do not think that Filoni is done with animated series.
Well, at some point. No, he's not. But that next animated series is already... You already know where that's going. That's going to be the search for Ezra.
Maybe.
It's absolutely going to be the search for Ezra. Oh, just so you know, for people who are really into like the Star Wars lore, we're going to 1313. We're going to level 1313.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Two seasons. Yeah. So, man.
Yeah.
And
just like, yeah, again, Filoni with his cast, the way that he just has like this family, the way that even, you know, even though it's voice acting and the way that, you know, voice actors don't always get to, you know, be together as much as a cast on a film or a TV series, live action is. The love that they all have for each other was just evident. And I just appreciate him so much for doing that for everyone.
So, yeah. So it sounds like we're kind of only missing. So we're getting an Ahsoka versus Maul fight. Mm-hmm. We got an Ahsoka Vader fight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I would love to. I know it's never going to happen, but I want a Vader Maul fight
well,
so
it
bad.
It happened in the comics.
In
a sense, it happened in the comics. I don't know. But you know what? Oh, going into that a little bit. Oh, I guess that's a 2020 thing. I'll save it for 2020.
Okay.
Let's talk about some of the smaller panels. I just want to hit some, and then we'll go into the Galaxy's Edge thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'll save one of them for the Galaxy's Edge. I guess I'll do that one last. Anyways. I got to do the Vader Immortal VR demo, very much thanks to Melissa waiting online while I was meeting Rex. D. Bradley Baker. So I used the new Oculus Quest, which is the untethered $400 headset that's going to be coming out spring. I have been told, I have heard it might be May 1st, unannounced, and just be on shelves. If it is, guess what's happening in roughly 11 days. Anyways, they are also putting out an Oculus Rift R, which is a newer one.
Rift S.
I thought it was R. that also has more cameras within it. You don't have to actually put any sensors on the wall. VR is really growing up very fast right now. So I did it on the tetherless just headset. It worked phenomenally. And the visual fidelity was really good. Mm-hmm. When Vader walked up to me, guys, I love Star Wars, but Vader's never been like scary to me since I was a kid in 1970, you know, watching the first one. When he walked up to me with the way the lighting was and the way the modeling was, I was like, yo, this guy's kind of terrifying. Like, he was an imposing figure, seeing him in VR right up next to you. And then basically you went through a training simulation with a lightsaber, which was just fan service delivery, but it felt good.
Yeah.
Like, the motion felt good. There was no lag. And, you know, if you get a chance to check this thing out in a demo, maybe hopefully they'll set one up in a Best Buy and stuff like that. They've done that before.
Yeah.
But if you want to, if you're a Star Wars fan and you're into this stuff, getting to experience Vader Immortal is going to be one of the highlights.
And this is just episode one that they're putting out. So,
yeah. So it's a multi-part series that will come out over time. And I'm sure it is not going to be the only one.
And this one, you're on Mustafar.
Yeah. You actually do get to visit Mustafar and stuff. It was really, really great. We got to check out the Alan Tudyk panel.
He is just a ball of laughs.
Yeah.
I love him so much. And what makes me happy is they got him back for the Cassian and K2SO series that's also going to be on Disney Plus within the first 2 years of it premiering. So again, just, you have my money.
That's also, if you're going to be someone who's going to go look forward to 2020 Anaheim,
yes.
I would put money that you're going to see a Cassian and K2 panel with the both of them. I think they'll both be there. So, yeah.
So put in for that lotto. He's so much fun, and I love Warwick Davis. He's a good host. I got to see the Sisters of the Force panel, which was moderated or hosted by Ashley Eckstein. It was just a really great, empowering panel. She had a couple of ladies on. She had the woman who voices Princess Leia in the Clone Wars. What is it, Catherine Tabor?
Yeah.
She had... why am I blanking on her name?
Vanessa Marshall.
Vanessa Marshall, who voices Hera. She also had one of the women who voices Tam in the new Resistance animated series. And she also had another woman on who like kind of works behind the scenes at Lucasfilm. She wasn't in casting. She was doing something else. I forgot how she started because she told her whole story. But she's been there and she works very closely like with Filoni in the writing room. And it was just a really great panel. Everybody cried a lot. Ashley Eckstein cried a lot. There was a lot of great stories, but I just was happy to see this panel of women, to see the diversity that was up there, and to just kind of love how these women have quietly become like this huge force in Star Wars. And, you know, Ashley Eckstein's done it with her Disney stuff, with her Star Wars stuff. You know, it's not just for the boys, like, it's for everyone. And this was a great panel to just explain how it's for everyone, how it impacts everyone, and to just really, you know, show the impact. And like, they had a couple of stories. Ashley Eckstein told her story about one of her fans who she had beat cancer 3 or 4 different times. It was intense. But she's a warrior, just like Ahsoka. Princess Leia had a story on, it was about a boy who was so in love with Padme and fell like in love with her as the voice of Padme from Clone Wars, and like, you know, got to talk to her all about his journey, again, beating and battling cancer.
Do you remember in the Clone Wars panel, the young kid, the boy who got to sit up on stage?
Yes.
And he got to meet Ashley Eckstein.
Yeah, he lost his mind.
He didn't lose his mind, like, screaming.
No, but, like, internally, he
couldn't move.
Yeah, he was, like, floored by the fact that she, like, ran over to him and hugged him, like, unprompted. And that's, like, the type of person she is, and that's why, like, every woman on that panel was, like, that type of person. Also, Vanessa, she brought up somebody who you can tell she was at Star Wars weekends a lot. Her name was, I'm blanking on it now. Darth McKenzie, I believe is her name. She didn't battle cancer, but she battled bullying and depression, and it got so bad for her. And then they brought her out on stage and everybody just clapped for her and like just was showing her all the love. And that's exactly how that panel went, guys. Yeah, no, it was just an emotional rollercoaster,
like,
but
you
it
said
was
before,
so great.
You said before, like, it's not just for the boys. And you know what? The stuff with the girls, it's not just for the girls. It's
no,
for
yeah.
everyone.
And that's why, like,
I want that to be said because I feel, you know, I always worry that
I think
correcting a stupidity that went on for too long.
We've gone too far to the other side.
We're going too far on the other side. And the thing is, it's not for one, it's not for the other.
No, it's
for
everyone.
Everyone.
But that's why
everyone.
I thought, like, Padme's, Catherine Tabor's, like, she brought a male fan out. You know, like, it was great because she
everyone.
Got to
so
show,
good.
Like, look, you don't have to be a girl to like a girl character or a boy to like a boy character. You can be a boy and like a girl character, or you can be a girl and be like a boy character.
Ahsoka
like,
is my favorite Star Wars character, right behind the heels of Obi-Wan Kenobi. And you're probably never going to top Alec Guinness because it's Alec Guinness. But as far as like, I know more about Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Than, well, also, I've also been lucky that I got to learn so much about Obi-Wan due to the animated shows.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I find myself incredibly lucky that I get to enjoy all these characters like that. And Asajj Ventress is kid, is queen.
Yeah. Yeah, so like it was just a really great panel, and that was I love that Ashley Eckstein's getting so popular, and that like it was in the big you know Wintrust Arena.
It's
and
getting too popular.
It's getting too popular.
Autographs sold out and everything. It was a madhouse.
It was a lot of fun to see, and then we also sat in on a fan panel. This marvelous life.
Marvelous life.
Well,
it wasn't a fan panel.
Well. It was, but it wasn't. It was in like the fan room or whatever they wanted to call it. But it was a very professional panel. It was great. The woman who hosted it went so far into depth about all of Darth Maul's lore from books, from episode one, from before episode one, all the way through the end. And even after, because she had some fan stuff that was great. And what was her last thing that she did with Maul and... Rey is...
Yeah. Maul and Kira's daughter.
Yes. It's just... She's like, I don't care. It's my fanfic. But it was really hysterical. And, you know, again, lore is my jam. So I was all into it. And it was just... The panels are where I really enjoy any con or, you know, Star Wars celebration. Like, that's always, like, the thing that I like the most. So, like, to find these, you know, smaller panels along with the huge, like, Mandalorian panels. But, like, I just love, like, sitting and listening and talking, you know, listening to people talk about this thing that they love so much. It's great. Did you?
I just want to give a – it's her name is Katie. I'm pretty sure she works for some part in – Lucasfilm, I forget where though.
Oh, Katie the Mall Girl.
You can find her at Poe Hot Dameron.
Nice.
And her panel was absolutely hysterical, but it was also a really great wrap up on if you want to learn the someone made that and I almost died. on the background of Maul. So you can actually find her whole panel is up on YouTube. So I would definitely go check her out, and she's actually been a lot of fun to talk with on Twitter.
And she's definitely made me want to read more comic books and novels because.
I'm reading right now. I'm reading and audibling. I'm doing both because that's the way I got to do things, I guess, nowadays. Master and Apprentice, which is a story about Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan that predates Phantom Menace, and actually, to the new canon, this is the earliest new canon story that they've released so far.
Cool.
And I've really had a good time so far. I'm about 40% of the way through it, which is weird to know because it's Audible.
And yeah, later on in the summer, you'll get another book. It's about the Black Spire Outpost, which will be at Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, there's a lot of reading, a lot of stuff.
Some more novelization stuff if you want to go dig into the background.
We were also in the Rebels Remembered panel, and that was just basically a big love fest for what Rebels was. Mm. And really a lot of fun learning how Tia Sakaar knew of the ending of Rebels about 5 months before her other castmates because she had to come in. She was held back before the party for the big rap party and said, oh, here, can you just read this?
Handwritten.
It was a handwritten Filoni script of, you know, of everything that you hear in that epilogue that happens in Rebels. So she knew everything.
Well, not everything, because she didn't see the visuals. So there was some stuff
She knew about the kid, though.
Yes, and there was some stuff that did take her by surprise.
So then she had to go to the rap party, and everyone, you know, and in particular, Taylor Gray, who plays Ezra, goes up to her, and she's like, he's like, what'd you do? What just happened? And she's like, nothing. He's like, what did you do? Yeah, so they had a lot of fun with that. Guys, I spent so much time getting autographs. I'm just going to say it. I went apeshit. That was it. I lost my mind this one because we had something that we really wanted to do cancel on us, and then I made up for it.
Yeah, so, you made up
great.
For it.
We got all the Rebels crew except Zeb because he wasn't there. Paul Bettany was there, who was Dryden Voss. Enfys Nest, who was Emily McKenna. Oh, God. I forgot her last name. No, it's not McKenna because I'm thinking of McKenna Grace.
Oh.
It's Emily something. I forgot her last name. Jonas, the new Chewbacca, Dee Bradley Baker. We got Freddie Prinze Jr., Taylor Gray, Tia Sakaar, Vanessa Marshall, James Arnold Taylor, Sam Witwer.
Alan Tudyk.
I had a blast. But I did not get to meet Mr. Borgullet, which was depressing, which was a bummer.
Yeah.
Borgullet.
And those were cool, too. They were done with QR codes as well. So that was very,
deception.
It was really well done with, return times and everything like that, and making sure that the autograph section did not get crazy packed with people who were just,
Now, the only two that were lengthy were Sam Witwer and Bradley D. Baker, because they just took their time and spoke to everyone.
Yeah, they just made the experience great.
Everyone spoke to everyone. I'll say that right now. Just some people were like, hey, how you doing? And they would do it very... a little quicker.
Oh, Freddie Prinze.
Freddie Prinze Jr. was like super high energy though. He came in. He was like flexing his hands and just loosening himself up. And he sat down, and he just was like, "All right, let's go." And someone in a good way though, not like, "Hey, let's go." It was like, "All right, let's do this." And he just starts signing. And everyone, he looks up. He's like, "Hey, man, you having a good time? The panel? Yeah, you having a good time? Would you see anything good?"
Yeah, he didn't rush anything, but
yeah, he wasn't rushing. He was just like
energy,
hype.
Yeah,
he was just hype. Man, it was good.
Yeah,
it was good.
That was good. All right. Speaking of hype,
is there though?
We will now get into the Disney Park stuff. Not only the Galaxy's Edge panel, but we'll talk more about the merch here because honestly, that was probably the bigger thing for us.
All right, yeah. So actually, let's precursor this.
Yes, we have gotten a lot of Disney Park stuff because we follow it. But I will say, and I remember this, and it came up on my Facebook memories, they initially showed some stuff about Galaxy's Edge at Celebration Orlando in 2017. So we had gotten concept art there. It was not a main panel, so I could understand why things might have been kind of low-key at that point. Obviously, if you are following Disney at D23 Expo, I think that year or whatever, you got more about it. So if you were following Disney, you have been following and know a lot about Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
However, this was a Star Wars celebration gearing itself towards fans that may not follow Disney like we do.
Do not follow Disney.
At all. So, the big main panel was, hey guys, there's going to be a Star Wars land called Galaxy's Edge, and you're going to, again, concept art that we've seen a million times, but it was like, you're going to walk these streets, they're going to look like this. I think the only thing new that we got was the Coca-Cola stuff. Fine, whatever.
Space Coke.
We got Coca-Cola shirts in Haberish. Sure.
Whatever.
It was weird, though.
What was weird to us was that this has already been stuff that was known, and they didn't even do anything like what they were doing on the floor, which was showing you all the new merch. They didn't even go into any of that in the panel, which I think would have been really cool. They had an hour and a half. You didn't have to take 20 minutes on what's his face trying to get into Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, Josh Gad, that was a wasted bit.
It was a waste of time. You could have shown me the kyber crystals that I'm going to put in my lightsaber. Yes, please let me see that in a panel.
Okay, so let's go. We're going to go a day before the panel though. All right, we're going to go back in time. We were online for something. I don't remember what. It may have been Tia Sakaar.
Okay.
And the people behind us, we got talking to them. And one guy, 1,000%, to him, Galaxy's Edge was they were taking down Star Tours and putting up a new attraction.
Yeah.
And that was it. He had no clue what was being done. Nothing. That's who this panel was for.
But I for wonder...
us, for us, I said it when we got there. I said, I don't think I need to go to the Galaxy's Edge panel because I don't think we're not going to learn anything because there's legitimately nothing else to learn.
Yeah.
And I
well, there was, and, but not at the panel.
And in a large thing, they're not going to this panel is going to be pointless for us.
Yeah.
And then it was a sand trombone through the whole panel because it was just exactly what we already knew.
Yeah.
So you all know that also. Like anyone who's listening to this show, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
The two attractions, the you're going to get really immersed. Things that happen on the ride are going to matter to you when you get out. Smuggler's Run will be open first and then Rise of the Resistance will be open later. Here are the release dates. Here's what it looks like. Here's a trailer for these rides that have been out for 2 months.
Yeah.
The thing that really mattered, the new stuff, was then after the panel being shown at the Galaxy's Edge floor space, and that was...
That was all the merch where they showed. The only thing I didn't like about this was they showed different stuff on different days, but there was no clear indication of which days they were going to show which stuff. So we only really got to see the lightsaber stuff.
What? Actually, I think when you tapped on it in Lightspeed, it did say it.
No, I did it, and it was only just Disney merch stuff. It did not explicitly say which merch stuff they were going
to
show.
You want us to be explicit?
Yeah, I need to be. You need to spell things out for me.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, you know this. Okay, so just a couple of stuff that we didn't get to see firsthand, but that I've seen written up and seen pictures of. And obviously, Adam, you will be able to have a Porg.
Adam, it's happening.
That you will be able to make noises. There's like a whole thing about a creature critter gallery. You'll get porgs. You'll get the little monkey lizard thing, Salacious Crumb looking things.
They're not Salacious Crumb looking things. They're Salacious Crumb.
But they come in different colors, so it's not just him. They will sit on your shoulder like a banshee. They will be movable and they will make noise just like a banshee.
I guarantee you, I know what that thing sounds like.
You probably do. There's also videos online that actually show the demonstration of it. And there's a couple other critters. I know they were showing not the those, but they showed other stuff from like episode one with the little thing, tongue coming out. Sorry, I just hit my mic. A couple other critters that I don't know what they are, but Star Wars people might. You'll also have a ton of new clothing. Her Universe is putting out a whole line of stuff. So not only actual like costuming, but more clothing that looks like Rey's vest and, you know, a dark jacket with a hood. There'll be a lot of
There was a bust of Luke's face.
And then there's a lot of like artwork and collectibles and things that you will get to see with that. They had Hera's family heirloom in one of the cases.
I forget the word of it is,
but. Yeah, but they had that there. You will be able to build droids. They have that kind of now, but they're kicking it up a notch. You will have personality chips that you will be able to input in your droids, and you can change them up. You can have your droid pick whether he wants to be with the Resistance, whether he wants to be with Darkseid, whether he wants to be a smuggler, he or she, it's a droid, I don't know. There's droids that change color. Like if you were an 80s, 90s baby and everything you dunked in water changed color, well, there will be droids that do that. So you can relive your childhood that way and change your droid color. Also, there will be things that happen with the droids that they will interact with the land. So if you choose that your droid is a smuggler, I'm sure when you go on Smuggler's Run, something might happen. If you take off C-3PO's armor or outer shell and turn his head around, you will hear him complain as he does. So there's a lot of interactive stuff with the droids. Sorry, what were you going
to
ask?
I wanted to actually... are you done with the critter stuff?
Yeah.
Don't go into the lightsaber thing.
Okay.
We're going to hold that.
Okay.
There was one thing from the panel that was useful. The app.
Yes.
There's going to be a highly interactive app that you're going to use on your phone as you're going through Smuggler's Run.
As you're going through the whole land.
I'm sorry. As you're going through the whole land. That's what I meant to say. Yeah, I meant to say Galaxy's Edge. I just said Smuggler's Run. A lot of stuff to scan. A lot of info. A lot of backstory to learn. It looks pretty robust and pretty fun.
Yeah, there's like four different options for you to like do on the cover. And one of them, is like scan. So like all the language that they have up, it'll be able to interpret it for you.
Yeah.
There will be stuff for you to scan in the world that will then translate to your phone. I'm sure there's going to be some type of what's the word I'm looking for?
Heroin.
Scavenger hunt. There we
go. Got it. Yep.
Nailed it. So there's going to be a ton of stuff for you to do in the land besides just going on the attractions and building your droid and or building your lightsaber.
So really, yeah, I'm sorry. We should have brought that up. But that was the one thing from the panel that I was like, oh, okay, this looks really nice.
Yeah.
This looks fun. But look, can we just talk about what matters?
Yes.
Adam.
Yes, sir.
The lightsabers that you're going to be able to make. There's going to be legacy lightsabers, 10 of them, of which they showed 9 of them or 8 of them, and then they haven't revealed a couple of them.
Just one.
Yoda was strangely absent from the ones that weren't
The Imagineer did say there's going to be one that will be revealed when Galaxy's Edge opens, so I don't know. Maybe that's Yoda's.
But some of the ones that they did have were, you know, Luke's.
And Luke's will actually have like two versions, he said. There'll be a kit that actually has like a, I don't know Luke's.
Well, the thing is, he owned two. See, the blue one and a green one. I don't know if they're going to call that Rey's. I don't know what they're doing with that.
But the thing is with these legacy ones, like as you're describing them, these legacy ones.
Legacy.
The hilt determines the blade color with these legacy ones.
Yeah, you can't mix and match. Like you can't make Luke's hilt go red.
Yes.
Like you cannot do that. It will not happen. But they also have Asajj Ventress, which her two blades will, you can buy a connector that you can just then connect them. Same thing with Darth Maul's.
Yes.
They have the dual blades of Ahsoka.
They have.
Yeah, just to speak to Ahsoka for a second. I don't know if you guys saw it. Ashley Eckstein actually went on stage during the stream.
I saw it.
And yeah, did you see that? And she was posing. Did you hear that crowd pop when that happened?
She's the most popular Star Wars character right now.
She really
is. And it's not close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll have Kylo's that will have the two little hilt.
Edge guards.
Yeah, edge guards. Yeah. That will be there.
But, okay.
So that's like the legacy ones.
Yeah.
Then you will have a 6-piece kit. This is where Adam is twiddling his fingers.
Oh my God, man.
So this the build your own ones, this is where you get to actually choose a kyber crystal, and that determines your blade color. So what's nice is you can design your hilt and then get a bunch of different crystals and change the colors as much as you want.
Yeah. And here's the real thing. This is all fine and well, but when we talk about build quality.
Oh my gosh.
Adam, this thing was heavy.
It was.
Yeah, the hilt that,
heavy.
Was
that's
heavy.
What I really want to know is like, it is it good quality?
Yes.
Yeah, so I asked the guy.
I picked it up. It felt like one of my 5 or 8 pound dumbbells. It was heavy.
It felt as a better build than even the Force FX lightsabers
did. Yes.
Yeah, because I used to collect the Master Replica sabers, and those were all quality. Yeah.
So these were. They were absolutely, they felt really good. And so that prompted me to ask the cast member who was there, like, yo, are there going to be like 2 build types? Like one for children and one for, he's like, oh yeah, these are the children ones. And he brought it out and it was the one that they sell now. Like,
yeah, like you like
where like you flick it forward. Like that's it. Like these are for adults and for older people. These are not toys. Like they're toys. But they are collectors. They're going to be $200, guys. Like they have to be.
Yeah, because the blades are like the ones that are on the Force FX. Like
yes, they
things.
Are. They are. It was. I look. Obviously, I was interested in like building your own lightsaber, but I think of the building your own lightsaber that they currently have, and they're very plasticky and cheap.
Yeah.
This has my money immediately. Like I'm not going to actually build my own at first. I want to buy Asajj or Ahsoka's. Mm. It's probably going to be Ahsoka's. But I also fully realize that's going to be $400 to $500 because that's 2 hilts.
Mm.
You know? Yeah. Or $350 because they'll give you a little bit of a thing if it's a dual set. But they were absolutely quality that I did not expect. And look, take that as you will. I did not expect it to be this level of quality. And it was...
Yeah.
Phenomenal to see the case that they give you.
Yeah.
All of it felt special.
Yes.
You are not buying a $25, $30 plastic hilt that says Luke engraved on it. Like you are really, really investing in a nice, nice piece.
Yeah. And A lot of the stuff, like, they don't have for the build your own. You can't do the Darth Maul or Asajj Ventress like dual thing yet.
They said yet.
Yeah,
they were very good on.
Yeah, so they did like have that. I don't think you can do the thing like Kylo does with the, what do you call it?
Edge guard.
Yeah, the
right. Is that what it's? No, or, that's
no,
not
the
what
cross
it's called.
Hilt guard.
Hilt guard or cross guard. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are not on the build your own things yet. I'm sure they'll come at some point, but just initially. And then what's also cool with the Kyber crystals, and we talked about this before. Well, I think it's cool. One thing looks cooler than the other. You can take your Kyber crystal and you can put it into a holocron. They have the light side and the dark side. I think the dark side looks cooler than the light side one.
Yeah, the pyramid looking Sith holocron, it just looks much better.
But what's cool is when you put, say you put the white crystal in the Jedi holocron, Ahsoka will then talk to you and give you some words of wisdom. You know, you can put the blue one in and, you know.
Now, look, I don't know if they recorded Hamill's voice or they're taking bits from the movie. That's the only thing is I couldn't hear what Ahsoka said. I don't know if it was something from the show. But they may have had some people record some dialogue.
Yeah. And I hope they got some cool Darth Maul stuff on there.
Oh, man.
Well, goodbye, kidney.
Yeah. I'm totally buying the Sith one because the thing looks legit cool. Like, you can open it. Like, the Jedi one, like, had the movable corners and stuff like that. So, yeah. I mean, I want it.
It's super, super crazy right now. Like, the stuff that we're seeing. And that is money. Like, I'm spending money on that.
Yeah.
So that was the Galaxy's Edge thing in a nutshell.
All right. So that was pretty much our celebration, right?
Yeah. So, like, that's a lot of the celebration. So now let's talk about what happened, though, just at the very end and now looking forward.
Yes.
So 2 years ago, they did not announce what the next show was until a year after.
And initially, well, up until this year, all of these have been every 2 years.
Every 2 years. So at the end of the show, they announce it's going at the, you know, the basically the good luck farewell
thing. The closing
thing.
Ceremony, yeah.
They announce Anaheim 2020 is going to be the next celebration. Now, this tells me a couple of things.
It
Number
also,
one,
wait, hold on. It just all took us a second to be like, wait, 2020, that's next year.
Yeah. Massive pop from the crowd when that was announced.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things I want to derive from this. Number one is, and I believe Scott Clark was the first one to bring this up, this might be the way of them getting away from D23. Because right now they're happening on the same year.
Mm.
And so maybe next year they say it's going to be 2022 for the next one. But that's fine, whatever. I'm just excited that we only have a year in between.
Mm.
The other thing is, I think that this speaks a lot towards they have some stuff to announce next year. I know that they use the word hiatus towards the films. Guys, a two years between films is a hiatus right now in the Disney calendar.
Mm.
So they have more than enough right now that they don't have to make a film because they still got Clone Wars coming back. You've got The Mandalorian coming out. You've got the K2 and Cassian show coming out within in the next 2 years, which they'll probably have a panel on in 2020.
Mm.
If they had, at 2020, I think you're going to have a panel that's going to announce a new feature film that you're not going to see until 2021.
Mm, yeah.
December 2021.
You'll get maybe what? Director with Kathleen Kennedy and
that
maybe some
yeah,
cast.
That's what you're going to get. And I don't even know if you're going to get a cast.
Maybe like one or two stars. I think you have to put somebody out, but maybe you don't reveal much else.
Yeah, you're not going to really learn much else. You're not going to get a trailer. You're going to get titles. You're going to get names. You're going to get like, like when Marvel does a thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, here's what's coming out. Because right now, Rian Johnson on his most recent press tour with Knives Out said, yeah, this towards Knives Out, this is my little movie before I return to a galaxy far, far away. Because they haven't started producing that thing yet. And the guys from Game of Thrones, same thing. They're doing Game of Thrones things right now. They haven't really started. So next year is when they'll have something probably.
Yeah.
Or at least one of them will.
Yeah.
So I think you should get excited because we're going to finally move forward from the start with the Skywalker, and next Star Wars Celebration will begin the steps of that. And also The Mandalorian is actually a step towards that because it's really not tied into it.
Yeah, and you might get a Mandalorian 2 panel, season 2 panel.
I think
panel.
You will, yeah.
Now, to kind of rewind and go forward at the same time, when it was in Orlando in 2017, they did have a Galactic Knights event at Hollywood Studios during Celebration. It was an extra ticket, but it was in Hollywood Studios and nothing was being done. Now, Anaheim 2020, Galaxy's Edge will definitely be open. I would put money on they are going to have an after-hours special ticketed thing over in Galaxy's Edge during that, and I am so there for that.
Yeah, so to tell you guys like how much this event like to me means and how much excitement I have for it, we have actually canceled the cruise.
One cruise, yeah.
We were going on two. We've actually canceled one of them. And I'm not going to WrestleMania next year because I want to go to Celebration. And I am going to attempt to buy a VIP ticket because I've never done a VIP at a Celebration. I've only been to two of them. And it's been a while since I did a VIP. And I want to see how it is because as I get more into this collecting issue of, you know, original art and autographs, it would save me a lot of time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a whirl. It's going to be a big investment, but that's fine. We'll see what happens with it. But as we did with this year, we are going to do a meetup definitely next year.
Yes.
And I'm, you know, we're going to figure out the details of it, but there is a hell of a steakhouse right in Disney called Steakhouse 55. That's where we're going to hope to. But again, you know, we got to wait until the day is announced. We just still don't know the exact day of next year. But I truly hope that even more of you come and join us this year, because if you're a fan of this stuff, there's really nothing better. And we're going to be visiting Disneyland before.
Yeah.
We're going to spend 3 or 4 days in Disneyland before.
Yeah.
It's just going to be an all-out blast.
Because also, like, the con, while this time around was not nearly as taxing as the Orlando one, you still walk around a lot. You still stand a lot. So I would not want to do Disneyland after that. So that's why we're going to do it beforehand. Also, like, you know, you go out there, you spend, like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at Disneyland, and then you hit the con on the weekend and just go nuts. And I guarantee you, like, again, they're gonna be doing something in Galaxy's Edge, and
you would assume so.
I would assume so. I would I'm so excited about that. So we will be there as soon as the dates are announced. We will be booking hotels, buying tickets, the whole thing that we can do. I don't know if I'll go for a VIP because I don't do the stuff like you do.
I don't think you should.
I will definitely be getting the whole day experience because, you know, leading up to this one, I was a little apprehensive. Like I said, I'm not a big Star Wars movie person. I like a lot of the other stuff. And the first 1 or 2 days was a little sparse for me. I enjoyed tagging along with Pete for the autographs on Thursday. That was a lot of fun to get to see and meet the people while they signed. But for me, it wasn't like a big thing. But once the panels started hitting in full force and I had, you know, panel the whole day, like that, I was in joy. And Sunday was the best day because it was Mandalorian, Alan Tudyk, and Clone Wars. Like,
yeah.
I didn't care it was snowing out.
Jonas Chewbacca afterwards.
And I, yeah, we
who
saw.
Who draws a Chewie into his autograph.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Pretty dope.
Unbelievable. Phenomenal.
So, and I'll still be able to tag along with you on those. So, like, you know, I can kind of.
See, you know what? This also might be a thing where, like, if we have a lot of people that are like, yeah, I'm going, I may not want to do the VIP thing because then I am going to be doing those panels on my own.
Yeah.
And I may not want to do that. We're going to see how it goes.
Yeah. So keep it.
I also know I'm going to have a partner in crime with the autograph thing when I go next.
Oh, yes, you will.
It's, you know, I know Jason, you know, my friend Jay Lozada, he's going to go in and do these autographs with me. So I have a partner in crime now on these.
Yeah.
So that will change it. That will be a big change. Also, guys, we can get four? Four people for photographs. If anyone wants to get photographs, we can split the cost on those. Go meet some of the stars, get a photo with them. Oh my God, I can't wait.
So yeah, keep an eye on the page. We'll definitely, once the dates are announced, we're gonna probably do an Airbnb for the celebration.
For the celebration portion of it, we'll probably go to an Airbnb, but we're gonna probably stay on property using our DVC points the Disneyland portion of it.
So that's one way that we're going to do it. If you guys want to join us for just the Disneyland and or just the celebration or both, we'd love to see you guys. I know we got to just see a couple people in passing at the show.
For the Disneyland thing, we're going to probably have a meetup at Trader Sam's.
Yeah.
And then for the celebration, that's going to be our steak dinner because it's now it's a meat. It's a thing.
It's a M-E-A-T. It's,
yeah, the meet up.
Yes.
Oh, my God. People. This one, Melissa, tells me, oh, you spelt this the thing wrong.
I didn't meat. Remember that.
And I was like, meat. I'm like, yeah, steak dinner, meat. And then Stan is like, oh, I never got that before.
Yeah.
And I walked away.
I was today years old.
I just walked away. I was like,
I figured that out.
That's it. I'm done. Done with both of you.
Which is why Stan and I get along so well.
Oh, my God. I got to get dinner. I'm starving here.
All right. Adam, we will see you there in 2020.
As long as it's after May, I'll be there.
I don't know if it's going to be after May, dude. Why would it have to be after May?
Well, because we're going down to the world for the marathon in February, and it's just too close. If they do it in April again, I just can't make it happen.
I can't listen to this. Turn the show off.
I mean, I'm assuming they might move it because you're not giving a lot of people time. You know, if it's supposed to be next April, like it's almost May and they haven't announced dates yet. So just,
well, again, though, they didn't last year either.
Yeah, but there was a 2 year in between. So I don't know. I'm hoping that they do move it to the fall. Yeah.
When they announce it, we'll have to talk about it.
I would love if it becomes like an October thing, but I don't think that seems very late to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe September.
Maybe it's August, time as D23. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll find out soon, and I cannot wait. And I really, really, I genuinely hope a lot of you guys come down, guys and gals.
Yes.
We had a blast.
We did.
We really
and
had
even
a real
from,
blast.
Again, someone who's not huge Star Wars fanatic, I loved it, and I absolutely know that even Jennifer Vale, she got to walk the floor with Lizzie dressed as an Ewok, and she enjoyed just the one day on the floor that she had. So there's something for everyone at these things. We will see you in 2020. Make sure you book your hotel or tickets to either coast. Go on a cruise. We're going in February. Head over to mei-travel.com to get all your stuff there. Adam, again, you do the YouTube stuff. Where are you on YouTube?
Oh, you can find me over there at movieguy365.
Awesome. Definitely check out all of his reactions. What was the one that you reacted to? Was it the Lion King one? I don't remember.
Oh, from the gym? Yeah.
Yes. That was perfect. So that one's always a good time. You can find all the stuff that we do on lastgenpodcast.com. You can find us over on Facebook. We have our Disney Magic Hour group there. You can head over to Twitter. Sometimes I put stuff up on there at Diz Magic Hour Pod. Mostly I'm on Instagram at Disney Magic Hour Podcast. Pete, you have your Instagram.
Peter Tadone Photography.
So if you want to find anything there, drool at all his pictures. We just went to Animal Kingdom today, so there's some good shots of Kevin up there along with a squirrel.
And yeah, they actually did get a picture of a squirrel. A really good one.
It was Disney squirrel, so it's special.
Yeah, special.
Follow us all we do. Make sure you like and subscribe our podcast. Give us a 5-star review. I'll read it. No one new ones yet. Maybe you guys were too busy watching trailers. We will see you in Anaheim 2020.
Well, we'll see him next week. It's Avengers. Adam's going to be back also.
I know.
I'm just excited.
Well, I'm going to see him, like, physically. I'm going to touch him.
I don't believe
touch
him.
His face in 2020. But yes, we'll talk to you all next week for Avengers Endgame. That's going to be an epic recording. So make sure you're caught up. Make sure you've seen Captain Marvel. We'll see you next week, guys. Have a good night. Shush.